Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and what the fuck was that Venture Bros premiere last night? And with me, I have...
I didn't watch Venture Brothers because I was watching the Evo tournament all day, and it went on for way too long. Holy crap, schedule yourself better next time!
And...
Hey, can you get sponsored by Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce? Just asking here. It's good sauce.
Now that is sauce that you can sauce on people with.
Yes. We wholeheartedly endorse Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce. Give us money, please. Or bottles of sauce.
Obviously, we're not getting anything from, like, I don't know, Gibson or something. Or other...
Not that we wanted or anything.
Or other company sponsors, you know. But we leave plenty of wars out there, but no one ever bites. Jeez.
Shame.
Especially that Coca-Cola sponsorship, man. I was so close on that. But alas, it was not meant to be. Anyway, episode 92. So, how's everything been going with y'all?
Been better. Because on Wednesday, I had a bit of an incident. I not only had an anxiety attack, dizzy spells, exhaustion, and a good amount of stress, but I was charted off from work in an ambulance to the emergency room, where I spent 4 hours just wanting to go home.
Ew.
Yeah, not a very good day, especially when you have a little IV thing stuck in your arm for 2.5 hours, and I'm just trying to get somebody to go, "Can you take this out of me, please? It's itchy."
I remember the first time I ever had to do an IV bag. It was coincidentally the day after I had Chipotle for the first time. I'm sure there's no correlation there.
Funny you mention that. That's where I got lunch after I got discharged from the hospital. Because
why?
I have a stomach of steel.
But dude, what's wrong with you?
Well, you forget. I'm white.
So? I'm technically white too.
You're Cubano. That doesn't count.
Yes, it does. You act like there's no black Cubanos.
Whatever. So, yeah. Had a few extra days off of work because of that incident. And I got a speeding ticket the next day. The one in a million shot. Let me just say this. In this city, my goodness, nobody catches you speeding. And it just happened to be... the one time I get the one cop who actually has his radar turned on.
Okay. Yeah, shit.
Yeah, so now I gotta figure out a way to get out of that without going to court or going to traffic school because I got no time for that and no money for that.
Reminds me of the time that I got one of those South Florida red light tickets. You know, before they finally, you know, did away with that shit. Even though I fucking slowed down enough at that fucking red light to make the right turn on the lane, they still gave me a ticket anyway, those bastards.
Yeah. So, I just sort of had all of Sunday to unwind by watching the Evo Top 8s, which were a good bit of tournaments and Melee.
Heh.
Yeah, fucking Melee snobs. Yeah, That Dragon Ball FighterZ final. Let it be known, a gay black furry is the best Dragon Ball FighterZ player in the world.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, what a time to be alive. And that's all I got. I'm just trying to get through the rest of the week and hopefully find a new job now because I'm at the point where work is becoming a hazard to my health and I cannot have that. Like, when you're almost passing out at work, and you can barely walk, that's when you know it's time to go.
Yes, that's fucked up. But yeah.
Yes.
Damn.
So, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. Well, we'll say the one highlight of this weekend was, you pointed out for me in the chat, Rob, as someone actually noticed our little, our little green tsunami thing.
Oh,
this
yeah.
week's
one.
And actually, you mentioned that because actually tweeted me out. We actually worked together like a few years back. We was on a site that's dead now because things didn't go well. But hey, I appreciate that shout out I got. This would have been my day. This would have been my day. It's like, all right, I appreciate the shout out.
Hey, small world. Now you can funnel that internet clout and you can start going on adventures with Wilderness Man. You could be Wilderness Mac. See what I did there? It's Mac.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, what was there? Well, I mean, I got a different unrelated ticket of my own, supposedly a citation from my school, because apparently I didn't have a permit to park one of the student garages, even though my permit is still good throughout the summer semester. So, you know, I appealed that, and I'm just waiting to hear back from that. I'm taking care of a couple of cats for the week, because my sister and her boyfriend are, you know, out of town for the week doing stuff. So, you know, every morning and every night, I get to go out to their place, you know, scritch their precious cat floofs. And then, you know, of course, feed them, too, and give them water. But seriously, the best part is getting to, like, you know, pet them, and then they all nuzzle my hand, and they're very fluffy. Cats are good.
Must be nice. All my cats try and do is just beg for food and scratch and claw me and fight with each other.
Well, yeah, they've been doing
that. Isn't that what we all do in this chat, basically?
Yes, yeah, but not to the point where I'm just trying to... You know, prevent them from fighting in my bathroom while I'm trying to take a leak.
My cats run like motherfuckers. They either fight or run. Either fight, run, or eat. Right, run, or eat. It's like they
again, like, just what? Like all of us.
Do we run that
Wait
much?
Wait a second, I don't run. Shit. All right, I'll take that L. But was there anything else? Aside from those two tidbits and the fact that I'm possibly going to see that fucking new Slender Man movie on Thursday, which looks like it's going to be horrible, and I am there for it.
Ugh.
Yes, can you tell I was one of those creepypasta high schoolers?
Screw that. I'm going to go see Black Klansman when it opens.
You know, I could see that too, but I still have to watch Christopher Robin first.
Why?
It actually looks like it could be genuinely good, okay? Fight
me. Uncanny Valley.
You say Uncanny Valley, I say, aw, he's so adorable, I want to pet him. Jeez. Anyway, that's basically about it for me, so now let's jump on in, as always, to the new song discussion, and of course there will be a playlist under the description for all of you who want to follow along with all of these songs here, and, you know, starting off at the top, oh boy, look, another Lucy from Freddie Gibbs.
Yep, he keep on coming with them, especially after releasing his mixtape 2 months back. And yes, there's another one-off track called Burn Rubber, produced by The Colleagues. Who? I don't know who they are, but hey, the beat sound good. Like, I don't got much to say about this song except, I will say the first beginning of the song does remind me of the one thing on his mixtape, Automatic, which I know is the same first line, same first line in there, or at least the way it sounds like it sounds like I'm listening to that. But yeah, you do get that to me when you're Freddie Gibbs. Like, this is an okay track. I will say it didn't hit me as hard as his other one-off tracks, but this one is what I thought the marginally decent. Although I will say the highlight of Freddie Gibbs this week was actually more the Automatic music video more than this song, which. If Freddie Gibbs wanted to get a sitcom, can Adult Swim do that for him? I actually want to see that now. But yeah, this song...
We'll touch on Adult Swim later.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah. Yeah, this song is... It's decent. It's alright. That's all.
You know, maybe it's because of his flow on this thing, but this kind of sounds like a Rick Ross jam. And that's really all I have to say on the matter.
Alright then.
Now, moving on from, you know, rap banger to 15-minute metal opus. Yes, it appears after their February collaboration with Japanese noise artist Keiji Hino, the lads in Sumac are prepping their newest full-length album, Love in Shadows, coming out September 21st. And so, of course, we have a nice 15-minute hunk of that album called Addis's Blade. And, you know, it opens up in familiar enough territory. You know, there's this kind of disorienting but slow kind of melody, you know, in the guitars mixed with, like, the very sludgy bass. All of it coming together for, like, this very, like, dingy, hollow but unnerving atmosphere. And even when the guitars, like, as they progress and even when the drums start getting, like, poundy and heavy, there's kind of a twang to, like, their tone that kind of offsets or maybe adds to, like, the noise of it, depending on how you look at it. Then about 4 minutes in, everything suddenly goes more freeform and, like, wacky. Pretty much more resembling the thing they did with Keiji Haino than it does either of their previous two albums. Especially with the noise at, like, the 6 minute mark, with all that howling distortion and everything. Hoo boy, is there noise. And yeah, sure, things kind of, like, bounce back and forth between the more standard Sumac stuff and sort of, like, you know, the more loose, freeform, jammier tangents. And, you know, it definitely goes out with a bang, like, near the end, where it just keeps vamping on, like, this distorted, very sparse kind of rhythm that just, you know, brings it all together in a very suffocating way. It's... if you like Sumac before, you'll definitely like this. And of course, I'm, you know, this is my thing. I like stuff like this.
Yeah, nearly 16 minutes of heavy, deathy, doomish garage rock jamming. I can dig it, but at times it can feel a bit too packed in with everything. It's, to me, it's more of an etude than an opus. I'll have to give this a few more listens for it to fully digest with me.
Ooh, etude. Look at me. I'm all using my degree and stuff on a podcast.
We'll touch on that later, too.
Of course. Anyway, moving on from, you know, 16 minutes of metal droning doominess to 9 minutes of droning electronic. Yes, it appears Mr. Tim Hecker has announced his latest album, Konoyo, coming out September 28th. Now, Konoyo is a Japanese, you know, for the world over here, and it was actually recorded in Japan with a group called Tokyo Gakuso, who are apparently practitioners of an old kind of Japanese classical music tradition called Gaguku. Where's the anime about that? Maybe soon. Maybe soon.
So I'll kill any.
But anyway, we have the first song off that new album called This Life, and, well, it certainly sounds like Tim Hecker filtered through Japanese musical traditions, because, again, a lot of it is very... It's very dense, but, like, also hollow. Like, it opens on a lot of very droning vocal samples that are all very, like, waily and haunting and almost ghostly. Not like the label, but, like, actual ghosts. Spoopy ghosts. And, you know, it's sort of swelling, fading in and out. There's these lone, droning synth notes that kind of, you know, help, like, you know, provide a body to everything. There's these sparse bits of, like, some Japanese string accompaniments, some subtle percussive elements that kind of clang, you know, throughout the hollowness of the track in a very loose, foreboding manner. It's that weird midpoint between, like, the serenity of, like, previous Tim Hecker, but also feeling, like, very haunted and somber. It's certainly gonna be something, all right. I got my ears out on this one.
Yeah. Whenever you're driving at night on a foggy, getting something from the store and wondering, when you get that creepy vibe out of nowhere, this is music that plays when you experience that moment. He says, I feel when I listen to like the first few times. It's like, okay, all of it, when I drive, it wasn't that foggy. It was just, you know, it was early morning. But yeah, this is definitely that. Very, you know, haunting ass sound you would get from Tim Hecker.
Ooh. Anyway, moving on from that. So, it looks like, in addition to a new Prophets of Rage album, and that solo project from DJ Muggs, which...
Yep.
Is that coming out this week or next week? I don't remember.
I don't know. I ain't heard no update from that. I need to check.
Right, but, you know, in addition to those two things, it looks like Cypress Hill proper is, in fact, dropping a new album of their own. It's coming out, again, September 28th, and this one is called Elephants on Acid, which, wait, isn't that the name of the Limp Bizkit album they keep delaying? Oh, no, wait, that's Stampede of the Disco Elephants. Why do they actually call it that?
I forgot there's still a thing.
Unfortunately, you know, when Fred Durst isn't DJing on Adult Swim shows. Yeah, so we have the lead single here, Band of Gypsies, and as you can tell by that name, it's leaning heavily on a lot of Middle Eastern, you know, vibes in the actual beat and everything. Perhaps most explicitly in the fact that the chorus is performed exclusively in Arabic, so I can't really tell you what's being said on there. Without using, like, Google Translate, but then again, who the hell really trusts Google Translate? But really, you're here for all, like, the fire bars and stuff, and, you know, I'm not sure if there's really, like, a message or a theme here other than, you know, we're badass and don't fuck with us. But, you know, it works pretty well. You know, it's pretty banging. There's some clever wordplay here and there. My favorite little line being that whole got you paranoid in the paragraph when I paraphrase, you know, that little passage in there just flexing the para symbolism and everything. But I can't really tell you how much this stacks, you know, compared to the rest of Cypress Hill, because I'm not a Cypress Hill expert, but I like it.
So yeah, like him, I don't know much of Cypress Hill that much. I mean, I know a little, it's like Cypress Hill alopecia. But here it's like for the first time, like, okay, knowing some of their stuff, like, this is definitely something I heard from them, like, have this new Eastern sound, and, yeah, like I said, I can't decipher the bars worth of shit either, because I know they sound cool, they sound good, and, I'll hear more about DJ Muggs, is, you know, his album coming out, maybe I'm gonna get this one a check out too. And, oh, it has 21 tracks.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hope it ain't that long. Well, hope it ain't that long, or at least if it's that long, hope it's good and long.
Well, let's be honest. I think Cypress Hill is one of those acts that probably has more material for 90 minutes than Drake, Migos, and Ray Schremer.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Just saying.
Yeah, I get you.
Anyway, moving on from that. Well, this past weekend might have been the official end of the Vans Warped Tour as we always known it, it certainly won't be the end of genty metalcore bands with plural names. Case in point, the lads in Monuments have announced their newest album, Phronesis, coming out October 5th. And, of course, we have the first single from the album, AWOL. And, yeah, this sounds like, you know, if you've ever listened to genty metalcore, you could pretty much call, like, all the beats of this song on a whim, including doing that thing where it, like, squeezes in, like, quick little shreds between, like, you know, the chugging rhythms, like, where those breaks are and everything. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the vocals on here are fucking immaculate. Remember, this is a Chris Barreto project, the guy that was singing in Periphery right before Spencer came on, and, you know, there's a reason why I've always been a little sad he didn't stick around with Periphery, because when it comes to how this dude belts, whether it be, like, the guttural lows or highs, or, you know, just arranging and performing vocal harmonies, all that stuff is exquisitely on point. But other than that, the actual rest of the instrumentation is just kind of standard, kind of making me wonder when we're going to get a new Ever Forthright album so I can get my genty jazz fix.
Yeah, this is all right. And funny you mentioned Periphery. If you actually look up Travis Orban, he did some play-alongs to some Periphery songs on YouTube. Some of those tracks actually have Chris Barreto's vocals on it, and he does sound pretty good.
Yes, that I am aware of that. I watched the shit out of those a lot back in the day.
Good. Everyone else, you go do that. And as for this, it's fine, but, you know, with the trend of saxophone in metal we've seen this year, Chris, whip out the sax, man.
Yes, whip it out, babe. References to memes. But anyway, yeah, for the next track, it's all you, Mark. It's all you. You got to take care of this one.
All right. So, I guess if I remember, I know that Ella Mai is certainly a big superstar, a big star now, thanks to her single Boot Up, which is you know, it's doing fine. It's, you know, probably Song of the Summer, just every motherfucker doing a remix of it. No, seriously, some motherfuckers are doing remixes of this song, and you can't compare to the original, which I actually like quite that. I just like that song quite a bit, but it seems that she has like another single out for I don't know what. Well, it didn't say no album because she didn't say nothing about that. Nothing about that yet. And it says, you know, she's on the label of one DJ Mustard. Okay, I'm sorry, Mustard's label. Which, wow, okay. Yeah, she got a second single called Trip. And it's mostly about, you know, being love struck, really deep in love, the love she get from relationship, which, okay, it's very love struck, you know, happy, well, not happy, but more like, you know, it's like, I'm so in love with you, like, you know, all that shit. It's, you know, I would say it's an alright song. I mean, it's not Boot Up, but it's clearly an alright song, and Dutton is very good. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is one of the few DJ Mustard tracks he produced that I actually can get with among a Boot Up. I just hope whenever her album comes out, it'll be just as good. Those that you may think, oh, she sounds American. No, she's British. Just we'll lay that out.
Oh, so, you know, she's doing the thing of like all those prestige leads in American cable dramas. You know, like Rick, like whoever plays Rick on The Walking Dead, what's his name?
Andrew Lincoln. That's his name.
Yeah, that guy. You know, where he plays an American Southerner, but he's actually British. You know, that whole thing that seems to come up a lot in television for some reason. But whatever, yeah, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, moving on to this next song here. Another October 5th release, and this one was, of course, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm trying to, you know, create suspense here. But anyway, Behemoth. Last album was in 2014 with The Satanist. Came out with a live album either earlier this year or I think last year. I don't remember which. But they have finally, officially, formally announced their newest album, I Loved You at Your Darkest, which, as a Metal Sucks piece here notes, yeah, that does sound more like a hymn album than a Behemoth album. And, you know, we finally have the first official single from the album. Oh, man, they're going to make me say this out loud. God Equals Dog. You know, I can accept that from Limp Bizkit because they're fucking idiots, but, like, Behemoth, you're smarter than this. I expect more out of you. Shame on you, Nurgle. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dogs are God because dogs are very good boys, but come on. But anyway, as for the actual song itself, well, first off, the intro of this sounds more like Eson than anything else. Like, it's very melodically pleasing, and it's, you know, chord progressions and melodies. Not to mention there's that nice, you know, steady groove. But then, of course, you know, 30 seconds in, and the familiar Behemoth style kicks in with just the very, like, atmospherically heavy, like, walls of guitar chords, the fucking blast beats and the tremolos and everything. And, you know, on top of that, like, it bounces back and forth between that, like, you know, the hard-hitting, like, blastier segments. And then in between all that are segments that sound more akin to, like, more new school at the gates kind of, like, you know, in terms of how they, you know, work in the melodies and everything, and the drum beats especially. There's a little bit more melancholy than I'm used to, but, you know, it's mainly sandwiched between all those, like, you know, aggressive bursting segments and, you know, with the operatic Latin choir vocals, which are definitely the best choir vocals on the song, because, yeah, there's some parts, the parts with the kids chanting is maybe a little corny, but, you know, it's still pretty good Behemoth stuff, and I'm looking forward to where this album takes us in the future.
Yeah, this is a pretty solid track, and it's proof that you can make good black metal. It doesn't sound like tinny ass.
That's why they call it black and death metal, kids. It's a thing. Look it up. Polish.
Yes. And, you know, these guys are actually coming to town here in October. Maybe if I have enough initiative and money to do so, I'll go out and see them. Maybe.
Oh yeah, that's the show. That's the tour they're playing with, like At the Gates, I think, and Wolves in the Throne Room. Wait, that's a European tour, I think.
Whatever. They're touring the U.S. This fall anyway. So that's
what matters. Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on to the last song on the list here, and this one is breaking pretty much this morning, but I had to throw it in here because holy shit, it's New High on Fire! Yeah.
Woo.
Yes, these lads have announced their newest album, also coming out October 5th, and this one is called Electric Messiah. Now, of course, Luminiferous was one of my top 10 favorite metal albums of 2015, so I'm sure this one's gonna have, like, a nice spot here, you know, assuming it doesn't have to fight with Sleep for it. You know, because, you know, Matt Pike is in both of them. And, of course, our first taste of this album is the title track, which, according to Matt Pike himself, was apparently inspired by a dream he had about the late, great Lemmy. Which is appropriate because, you know, High on Fire have always had tinges of Motorhead underlying their sound. And this one is one of the more explicit ones, you know, coming right out of the gate swinging with those very fuzzy, aggressive, you know, chugging, driving riffs, the really super heavy low-end bass, the fucking drums just rapid pounding on, like, the toms and double bass and everything, just, you know, pounding and pounding and pounding. And Matt's vocals are, of course, still just, like, broken stone gravel just all over the mix. The whole thing is just, like, as always with High on Fire, just a fucking musical freight train. It is primo High on Fire, and yeah, October 5th can't get here fast enough.
This was a very splendid surprise to find this morning. I haven't heard much from these guys in a while. It's always nice to just sort of thrash out to whatever these guys are pumping out. They do have a nice blend of garage rock, thrash, and a little bit of sludge in there, so yeah, excellent stuff, lads.
And that covers just about all the new song discussion, so we're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we got a couple of news topics to discuss here, so don't touch that dial. And we're back. We got two news topics here, and Alex is going to take the lead on both of them, per his request. And not to mention, one of these has an update that literally broke during our break, so, you're getting this as new as possible or something.
Breaking news! Yes. News! News!
Yeah.
News! So, within the past week, we've had some rumblings over a new project coming from one Mr. Let me see if I'm pronouncing his name right. Richard D. James, a.k.a. Aphex Twin. Reportedly going to be an EP called Collapse. And in the wake of this breaking promotional blitz, as you would call it, there was going to be a little bit of a promo video airing on, of all things, Adult Swim this past Monday at about 1:30 a.m. However, during our little break, we found some information about that. And, per Adult Swim creative director of On Air Jason DeMarco, said promo spot was pulled from the schedule, citing, quote, "The segment didn't pass the Harding test, which is a set of standards for photosensitive epilepsy safety that is apparently mandatory for TV broadcast." And speaking as someone who is prone to hyper light sensitivity, not so much epileptic sensitivity, but just sensitivity in general, yeah, that can be a problem. If you want proof of that, go see The Incredibles 2. You'll know what scene it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is doubly weird because they have that standard for television, but not for movies.
I know, it's weird, different mediums and all that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I guess that's one reason why on British TV they have warnings about strobe lighting, because, you know, hypersensitivity to light. Thank you, Porygon and Pikachu, for ruining that 20 years ago. Yeah, so the promo spot will be premiering online. We don't know the date as of this recording, but it'll be up, you know, relatively soon, we would assume.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, as far as Monday night television, you'll just have to settle for Better Call Saul.
Yeah. That is a very Adult Swim thing to do, though. Have Aipex Twin announce a new EP on Adult Swim in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's true. Guess we'll just have to settle for the weird 3D pictures that keep popping up everywhere.
Yeah, and we'll always have that one shot in Macross Plus.
Macross.
Plus. Give it up, Harmony Gold, you bastards.
Ooh. Anyway, and again, we got another thing here. And again, Alex is going to take the lead on this one because he already may have taken the lead on it earlier in the week on a different format.
Yes. So, this year marks a pretty special occasion. Just 2 days after this recording marked the 60th anniversary of the Billboard Hot 100 chart, starting on August 4th, 1958. And this chart has been pretty much litmus test slash benchmark of the cultural zeitgeist of music in our country, be it good or bad. And in commemoration of that, the people at Billboard have partnered up with some experts, including Deanne Warren, a really famous songwriter, and Mark Ronson, a songwriter and producer of a certain song that you all know, as well as some of the Billboard chart team members, Gary Truss, Sandra Zellner, and Trevor Anderson, to put out a top 100 list of the number one songs of the Hot 100 of the past 60 years. I took a look at this list in my free time, sort of gave a listen to each of these songs from 100 up to 1, and this list is kind of poopy. There How are poopy? Some notable omissions here. So, should we just get started?
Yep, let's rip the band-aid off.
Yeah. Okay, this is going to take a while, so get cozy. What number 100, Foreigner's Waiting for a Girl Like You, arguably the weakest single off of Foreigner 4. That's the single album with Urgent on it, by the way.
I caught this feel off this pissed out bro while they were playing Urgent.
Kick-ass show. Was the real Foreigner belt coming out? Come on, Mick Jones. All right, number 99, Family Affair by Mary J. Blige, which I hadn't heard that song in years.
Hey!
Still bangs.
Yes, it does. The one was played songs of the 2000s.
Such a good song.
Yep.
Coming up at number 98, we have a prom song from 1994. And I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky.
Oh, is that what that fucking song is?
By All For One. Yes.
Christ almighty.
I keep hearing that song. Every song that always plays late night whenever they do the whole get these city of 80s, 90s yep. That you probably never heard
Taylor
of.
Taylor made for infomercials.
Yep.
All right. Number 97. Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You, which, fair enough.
I don't really have much to add.
I ain't got much to say about it either.
Yeah, okay, number 96. Lionel Richie's All Night Long.
Oh, fuck out of here with that shit. Next.
Oh, no.
You're going to hear that name a lot in this list.
Oh, my God.
All right. Number 95.
My Sharona. Jinx.
Good. That's a fine way to ring out the 70s.
Classic.
Number 94. Lionel Richie, Say You, Say Me. Oh, God.
Next.
One of those more slower-ass songs, isn't it?
I told you. Gonna be here a lot. Yeah. All right. Number 93. Play that funky music, white boy.
That's you.
No, you're not doing it nasally enough.
Oh.
Play that funky music, white boy.
Like that. Why'd you pluck your nose? It's an amazing voice. Faithless. Number 92. Carly Simon's You're So Vain.
You find this?
Don't got anything to say about that one.
You probably think this article is about you.
Is music royalty here. Number 91. Ed Sheeran, Perfect.
Let me skip!
The White Lionel Richie. Skip.
Number 90. The Steve Miller Band, Abracadabra. Their final big song from 1982.
Huh. I don't know shit about Steve Miller or his band.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 89. We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish gangster's paradise. If that isn't the theme song for JoJo Part 5, I am going to flip a table.
Oh, man, I still love this song to this very day.
It's a classic right. For a reason.
Yeah, number 88. The Sauce Man with 21 Savage. I've been fucking hoes and popping billies, man. I feel just like a rock star.
I'm getting turnt right now on lean. Feeling just like Zach and Codeine.
Yeah. Number 87. Donna Summer, Hot Stuff. Some fine disco. Expect a lot more disco.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Number 86. Michael Jackson, Billie Jean.
Billie Jean is not my
two things. This is only number 86, and this is the only single Michael Jackson song on this list.
Oh.
I told you it was poopy.
Oh, damn.
That's wild.
Yeah. Number 85. Canadian country songstress Shania Twain, You're Still the One. And I think everyone in 1998 had that album, myself included.
Wait, she's Canadian? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Frampton Comes Alive of 1998.
Yeah. All right, number 84. Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. The most sinister song of 1968. All right, number 83. Nelly featuring Kelly Rowland, Dilemma. And if you don't know how it goes a little something like this. I love you, and I need you.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long ass time.
Yeah.
You mean both?
I haven't heard Kelly Rowland either. Number 82. Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are.
Yeah,
you know, before he started ripping off older music styles and becoming cool, actually.
Yeah,
that was the best thing he could have done for his career. Mm. All right, number 81. Novelty song alert. The Archies, Sugar, Sugar.
Dun, 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 dun.
Something, something Simpsons meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Though I prefer the System of a Down song of the same name. Sugar!
Do, 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 do.
Yeah. Number 80. Diana Ross, Upside Down. More disco.
Except this is 1980 disco.
Eesh. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Number 79, a song I thought we all collectively agreed to never talk about ever again. Pharrell Williams, Happy.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Boy, oh boy.
You know, I remember the year that song came out. And every fucking day in, like, the main congregation building of, like, my university campus, they're always playing that fucking song. Always.
Yeah.
Fucking it's always.
You're totally screaming.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Number 78. Dionne Warwick and the Psychic Friends Network. That's What Friends Are For. One of the schmaltziest smalch fests ever recorded.
So it's appropriate for 1986.
Pretty much.
I guess.
And yes, it was a charity single. Number 77. Paula Abdul, Rush Rush, a full-on 808-ified ballad.
Wait, Paula Abdul did music?
Yeah. Some good music, too.
Really now?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, she did more than just be drunk on American Idol, trust me.
All right, gotcha.
All right. Number 76. Oh, boy. It's one of the worst songs ever written, Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony, Ivory.
It has not aged well at all.
Ugh. Nope.
Yeah, this was 1982 Stephen Wonder. This is when he officially shit the bed.
Yeah. Number 75. Adam Levine and Friend, Moves Like Jagger. The Friend is Christina Aguilera. Yeah.
Oh, that's a all right. Song. Okay.
Damn. Yeah. Number 74. Let's get some jock jams up in here. It's tag team. Whoop, there it is.
Okay, let me just say, of course, I had to hear this song all the fucking time throughout my life, because remember, this is tag team, one of the pioneers, or one of the most famous names in the Miami bass genre. And keep in mind, this song peaked all the way at number 2, and there was a separate song by a different Miami bass group called 95 South, who released a song called Woot, There It Is, you know, from their album Quad City Knock, and this one peaked at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100. There were two songs with the same name that pretty much sounded goddamn same from the same genre. The 90s are weird.
So it was the Four Horsemen versus the Mechanics of, you know, Miami bass.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, what did you think of that one regular show scene with it? Worthy of jumping the shark or no?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that episode yet.
No. It was with Mordecai and CJ. Okay. Number 73. This one's weird. Even for 1969. The Fifth Dimension. Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In.
I got nothing, but I assume there's a story behind it.
I remember hearing this at the end. I remember hearing this. Yeah, I remember the song because I heard the end of the 40-year-old version that one time, or when I saw it.
Oh, yeah, there was a story behind this. This is actually a medley of two songs from the musical Hair.
Oh,
and that's also a weird show.
Hair.
Yes. Yeah. Number 72. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Love Rock and Roll. I don't like this song. Next.
Hey. Two things. One, fuck you, I like that song. And second, I just noticed a typographical error here. They say rock and roll N. And that has nothing to do with the fact that on song number 99, they use a comma instead of a period after the number 99. Sloppy copy editing there. And then number 71.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Because I got your letter from the postman just the other day.
DVB, Because I Love You, parentheses, the postman song.
What the hell did the postman have to do with any of this? I still don't know.
The postman delivered.
Yeah, notable. It's a bit more of a notable one-hit wonder than, say, Timmy T. Oh, an addendum? Exactly. As an addendum, I saw that video for this Because I Love You, the Postman song. Awesome hair. It's not quite a Jerry curl, but it's still pretty rockin'. Alright. Number 70. Brandy and Monica, The Boy Is Mine.
Ah, yes.
Is pop music I grew up with.
I remember the time when watching one of that video when it comes on BET or MTV or any channel when they show music videos once. Yeah, good times. And funny Twitter video too.
Yeah. All right. Number 69.
Nice.
And we'll never be royals. Royals.
Oh, you mean, I am Lord. Yeah, I am Lord.
Well, yes, obviously.
Very nice.
Number 68. This one's kind of heavy. John Lennon, Just Like Starting Over, and it was the last single released before his death.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of heavy. Number 67. Megan Trainor, all about that bass.
Next!
N-E-X-T.
Yeah, the song blows. Number 66, The J. Geils Band, Centerfold. And finally, I know the name of this song. I hear it on the radio all the time, and it's kind of, yeah, really.
The bastard that killed Polnareff's sister!
Number 67, number 63, number 65, I Saw the Sign.
Oh,
I remember that time for that one American Dad episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 64, Timbaland featuring One Republic, Apologize. And remember when Timbaland was producing rock albums? He did it for One Republic, Chris Cornell, even Duran Duran. That was a weird year.
Okay.
Hey, remember when back in the day when poppy, you know, pop ballads actually sounded like they had life to them instead of being moaning and suffocating like fucking Zayn?
Ick.
That's not a joke. Zayn makes me miss One Republic.
All right. Kendu 63.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
All right. She take my money? When I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling bitch indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town.
18 years.
That digs 18
on years. And on the 18th year, yeah. He found out one. He's...
Number 63, Kanye West featuring Jamie Foxx. Gold digger.
You know...
She messed with no bro.
Fine. For all the shit I give Kanye West, that song still bangs.
Yeah, if it's good enough to be in the Boondocks, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Number 62. Behold the Milli Vanilli of the 1960s. The Monkees. I'm a Believer.
Oh boy, you mean like the song from the Shrek soundtrack? Wow, did I piss him off that bad?
I think he left.
Number 61. Number 61, Kesha, TikTok, and it's very fair to say Kesha is doing much, much better now than here.
That is true.
Number 60, Kenny Rogers, Lady, written by Lionel Richie.
fucking next. And wait, Kenny Rogers did songs that weren't Danger Zone?
That's Kenny Loggins.
Okay, then.
Number 59. The Peak of Disco. The Bee Gees. Staying Alive.
You know, a.k.a. the band that Linkara will never be as famous as.
Number 58. A name I haven't heard in a long, long time. Mario. Let Me Love You.
Oh, yeah.
He had one of the biggest video games of 2017.
Oh, yeah, that one singer Different that Mario. I've forgotten about back that's been left behind in the 2000s, like, no one cares about him now.
Yeah.
Remember, his last big hit was that one song with Gucci Mane. You know the one.
Let me down. I forget what it's called, but fuck it, I remember how it sounds.
Shut up.
Number 57, Blondie, Call Me. Anytime you can call me.
Gallop riffs are awesome.
Yes. A preface before number 56. The only Black Eyed Peas songs on this list were from The End. Number 56, The Black Eyed Peas, Boom Boom Pow, a.k.a. a song that had its best usage in an old suit skit in Jackass 3D.
That pretty much tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Number 55, Boys to Men, End of the Road, the slow jam love thing to the hit to the absolute hit classic Eddie Murphy film, Boomerang.
What?
That's
exactly.
Yeah.
Who remembers Boomerang? I don't.
Actually, I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay, we got number
And speaking of movie singles, number 54.
Hang on. I want to do this one.
Okay, go ahead.
And
oh, God.
Holy shit. We'll always love you. I can't believe you would do this to me. God, why would you do this to me?
Get the crack. Yes, jokes aside, Whitney Houston, a career shrouded in Shakespearean tragedy. Such talent, but squandered later in life. Thank you, Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. Number 53, Alicia Keys, No One. The last big single from Alicia Keys, and No, Girl on Fire only peaked at number 11.
Oh, how the times have changed.
No, yeah. One, no. I can't do it.
Yeah. Number 52, Elton John, Something About the Way You Look Tonight, Candle in the Wind, In Memoriam of Princess Diana, at the end of 1997.
How appropriate.
Yeah. Number 51, let's just skip because it's not worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, we'll talk about the song that that was stuck at number 2 because of it, Daft Punk's Get Lucky.
Mm. Yes.
That still hurts.
Yeah, it's the sound of the summer, basically.
All right. Number 50, Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe. And I'm sorry, but this song is terrible.
Amazing to think that we all slept on her because of this, but then she goes ahead and releases one of the best pop albums of the decade with Emotion.
Yes, let's just be glad that that was such a big rebound.
Also, congratulations on finally getting that sword.
Yes. Hopefully we'll see her in Soul Calibur 6 as DLC.
Nice.
Yeah, all right. Number 49, Andy Gibb, Shadow Dancing, and Behold, Corporate Disco.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. That sounds bad.
Yeah, it's not that good. Number 48, The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Permission to say these guys were much, much better when they were dropping acid because, what a difference a few years would make.
Pretty much the only band that holds true to that ever-annoying bullshit misconception about the creative arts.
Yeah, pretty much. Number 47, Tommy Edwards, It's All in the Game, the fourth ever Hot 100 single back in Hot 100 number one single back in 1958.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
there are some legacy titles here. Number 46, Dawn featuring Tony Orlando, Tie a Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree, and this right here is what you get when you're in the middle of the 60s hippie prog acid rock craze, and you're right before the start of disco. You get a couple of years that were just weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is some weird spot.
Number 45, Nickelback, How You Remind Me.
I got nothing to say.
Honestly, I know these guys are a punching bag, deservedly so in part. I don't hate them as much as the rest of the world does, especially the early stuff. It's somewhat listenable. Sorry.
Now if it was Creed on this list, we'd have some problems.
Hey, My Own Prison is a good album. I will defend
that
to this day.
Shut the fuck up and move on.
Okay, number 44. Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Say, Say, Say. The other duet that wasn't on Thriller.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty good, too.
Okay.
Number 43. Bum, bum, bum. Ba-bum, bum, bum, bum. Ba-da-dum, bum, bum. Another one bites the dust.
And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Because some David Bowie-looking motherfucker snapped his fingers.
Yeah, it's Queen. We don't have to add anything to it. Number 42, The Bee Gees, Night Fever, the other single from Saturday Night Fever that didn't really get as much traction.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 41, Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, a.k.a. the song that is undeservingly a sitcom punchline.
Yeah, what the hell, American comedy writers? What did Marvin Gaye ever do to you?
I won't forget you, King of Queens.
They did that?
To think, Patton Oswalt climbed up so high from so low.
Yeah, let's all be grateful for that.
He's now Nom Nom. Yes, it'd be Bear Bear's reference, so what? I do.
All right, number 40. Sir Paul dipping in the disco. Wings. Silly love songs.
What's wrong with that? I mean, besides the fact that Wings kind of sucks.
Yeah. Wings. Good TV show, not so good a band. All right, number 39. See if you recognize this one. I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy. I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything that you need. Savage Garden, truly, madly, deeply. Love this friggin' song so much.
I wish I could say I could recognize it, but there's only one Savage Garden song I'm familiar with. JoJo references.
I knew I loved you before I met you. That one, right?
No, the one about Cherry Cola.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Less than 2 weeks away.
Hype.
All right. Number 38. Mariah Carey and Boys to Men. One Sweet Day. Arguably the best single off of Daydream.
Yep. And you ever heard that song and hearing it back now? Yeah, you know, I'm going to admit this. I kind of shed a tear at the end of it. It sound beautiful.
It's good stuff there. Mm-hmm. Hi, Walter. Number 37. I don't even know. Johnny Horton, The Battle of New Orleans, 1959. It was weird.
Yeah, I think it's about the name. I heard the name before because when I used to own one of those Casio keyboards, it always plays that version. It was like, that's where I know that from.
Number 36, Bobby Lewis, Tossin' and Turnin', pre Motown R&B.
Those were wild times.
Number 35, Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
I like that song.
Yes, I think we all do.
It was good.
Number 34, Irene Cara. What a feeling. Dun, 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 dun. Flashdance, what a feeling.
The best song from that soundtrack, not written by Michael Cimbello.
All right. Number 33, Meme.
I'm feeling really depressed right now. Alexa, play Despacito.
Yes, of course it's going to be on here. How could it not?
That will never die.
Latin crossover single since the Macarena.
By the way, Alexa, what are we getting Despacito 3?
Number 32, Gautier featuring Kimbra. Somebody that I used to know.
A man who ironically himself became someone that the pop world used to know.
Yeah. He's done better work off that album. And remember your favorite Martian covering that song?
What the fuck is your favorite Martian?
Okay. Exactly. Okay. That's a good song. And people need to stop sleeping on Kimbra. She's fucking good. She's fucking excellent.
Yeah. All right. Number 31. The creepiest creepy creep song ever. The Police, Every Breath You Take.
Nowhere near the best Police song, regardless of what some might argue.
God, no.
It should have been Synchronicity 2. That song sings about getting kicked in the crotch.
Yeah.
Number 30.
Number 30. Next, Too Close, which if you're not familiar, you'll know the chorus.
It makes Why the real fuck?
Close. It makes it real slow.
Oh, so that's that which fucking song.
Which all y'all talk to a meme. Which all y'all talk to a meme from... It was maybe why you crying to why the fuck you lying? Why you fucking... you get that meme.
Vine memes.
Oh my god. Number 29. More corporate disco. Andy Gibb, I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Dang, Gibb had a career.
Yeah. More so than just being a punchline on Saturday Night Live with Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon.
Heh.
I'm Barry Effin' Gibb. Number 28. Low, 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 low. The only good Flo Rida song featuring T-Pain, Low.
Yeah, you know, because it actually has an okay hook.
Yeah, and also because this song, like many others, is an excellent meme.
It is the dankest.
Memories. Number 27, Rihanna featuring Calvin Harris, We Found Love.
Ah, yes, around the time Rihanna started getting mediocre.
Yeah, blame Chris Brown for that.
All right.
Yeah. All right, number 26. Survivor. Bum, 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 bum. Eye of the Tiger.
Rising up, back on the streets. Did my time, took my chances.
Yeah. Number 25. Another cut from Saturday Night Fever. The Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love?
How big was that soundtrack?
They made a PG cut because so many kids wanted to see it.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot there was a PG cut. And I forgot that was rated, was rated R the first time around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forget about that. Forget about that shit.
Mm-hmm. Number 24. Aw, freak out! Le Freak, c'est chic.
So that's what that song is called.
Yeah, Le Freak. French for The Freak.
I didn't know that.
All right, number 23. One of the most iconic pieces of film music ever written, Percy Faith's theme from A Summer Place.
Billboard hit, eh?
Okay, I don't want to go...
9 straight weeks... at number one.
Whoa, wow.
Ah.
1959 was weird. Number 22. Boys to Men. I'll Make Love to You.
I'll Make Love to You. No, you won't. You. I forgot the lyrics.
Well, not you.
Why? Well,
number
why?
21.
Oh, hell.
Why?
Bryan Adams, Everything I do it for you. Canada, your apology wasn't enough. Been at the stage, 2013.
By the way, let's not forget the time that Bryan Adams sued AllMusic in order to force them to remove all information about him.
Ugh. You want this song done right? Richard Marx, Right Here Waiting. That is how you do it.
And by the way, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves sucked. Todd in the Shadows, 2014? 2012? 2013? I don't remember.
Number 20. Jewel, Foolish Games, You Are Meant for Me. Kind of a weird one, because this was a double single charting on here. And this was from a much more innocent time before she sold out in 2003.
Ah, how the times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Number 19, Rod Stewart. Tonight's the night. Never got into it.
Meh.
All right. Number 18, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Endless Love.
So, N to the E to the X to the T.
So a song to a movie that's mediocre that got a remake. That's also mediocre.
I said next.
All right, number 17. Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes, and I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, after all, the song that comes next is a fucking banger.
Yep. Yeah. Number 16.
Yeah. Usher. Featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris. Yeah!
Ah, Club 2004.
15 years.
It is still a
banger. I miss the crunk days.
I miss Lil Jon.
Good stuff. Yeah. Number 15. Toni Braxton. Unbreak My Heart. Oh, such a good song.
Yeah.
I have to take a word on that.
is a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 14, Mariah Carey, We Belong Together. The strongest single off of her very strong comeback, The Emancipation of Mimi.
The Emancipation of Memes?
Oh, no!
Speaking of, number 13, the most 2016 song to come out of 2016, The Chainsmokers featuring Halsey. Something about their roommate back in Boulder. I don't know.
Where's my shotgun?
That mattress that you stole. And I also stole Max's shotgun.
It got a bullet in it, so too bad.
All right. Number 12. The worst single off of the White Album. The Beatles' Hey Jude.
Does that count as a hot take? I'm not sure anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's not
I
a
think
song.
We've all agreed that the song is not that good.
How not that good are we talking, though?
Yeah, that's not a song that... that's on my Casio keyboard. Yeah, there's a lot of shit on that I remember way back then that it was a real song.
To give you an indication, the White Album also had Helter Skelter, a much better song by comparison.
Yeah, except for the part where it got involved in motherfuckers killing motherfuckers. That kind of stained its reputation a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right, number 11. Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. Movie single.
Yep, sounds about right.
Yeah. Number 10. Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical. Physical. The ultimate theme song to hundreds of VHS workout tapes, complete with spandex and Aquanet.
Did someone say spandex? Those were the days.
Oh, now we're getting really cringy here.
Oh, shit.
Number 9. Boom, 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 boom. I'm Ed Sheeran. I'm writing a song with just one key. It's called Shape of You.
And I have diarrhea.
Yes, don't we all? And now, allow me to recite a poetic rendition of the hook from number 8 on this list. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría macarena, que tu cuerpo es para darle alegría o cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría macarena, hey macarena.
Ay. Yes, Los Del Rio, Macarena. The true Despacito of the 90s. It was inescapable for years.
It's basically the cha-cha slide for people with a tan and who know how to season food. So no whiteys allowed.
You think that's bad. Number 7, Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
Oh,
I mean, I like it better than Boom Boom Pow.
I got sick of this.
Sounds like a party I want to be a part of.
I got sick of this song very fast. Like, I didn't like Boom Boom Pow either, but this one just really annoyed me. It's like, yeah, I know you got a feeling. I got tired of this. The man that came on, like,
You got a feeling that's going to be a good night? Okay, prove it.
I mean, to be fair, given what Black Eyed Peas released afterwards, this is kind of like the diamond in the turd. I'm just saying, they got way worse after this, somehow.
You want proof of that? Number 6. Limfow, featuring Lauren Bennett and Goon Rock, party rock anthem.
Look, I'm just going to say something right here, just for the record. Given the state of pop music in the year of our Lord 2018, I desperately miss LMFAO. Like, seriously. When people produce songs that weren't, like, half-baked ambient noise demos or whatever, like, that had hooks and weren't empty and barren like my hopes and dreams.
Fair enough, but, it's just too much of a meme, even for meme standards. All right. Number 5. How do I live without you? I want to know. Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live? At one point in time, the biggest country crossover single in history.
You know, before Florida Georgia Line had to ruin it for everyone. And whoever the fuck did Body Like a Back Road too, fuck that guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah. That dude. Yeah. Fucking, ugh. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Why couldn't it have been Lone Star's Amazed? Number four. Oh, boy. One of the most repetitive songs in history. Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, gonna give it to ya. Cause Uptown Funk,
fill my cup, pour some liquor to get it.
Cause Uptown Funk, gonna give it to ya. Repeat four times over.
Don't believe it, just watch. Come on! Well, fuck you, I like that song. Again, given how empty and barren all of pop got in the years after, hell yeah, give me some Uptown Funk.
And too much. And hey, it's a period where Bruno Mars got better.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number three, Bobby Darin, Mack the Knife. And this is a song from an opera turned into a jazz swing tune. Again, 1959.
What the hell were people on back then?
So what about me with a knife?
It was weird.
Yeah. wrong Mac. This is more like Miggity Mac Daddy. Except, you know, in 1959. And oh hey, we got one of the most meme-ass songs of all time at number two. The 1999 hit single Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas of the band Matchbox 20.
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
This is arguably the biggest single of Carlos Santana's career from one of the greatest albums ever.
Yeah, and it's also a meme. What do you want me to tell you? I don't make the meme rules.
No.
You know, in the same way that Africa by Toto is a meme. It just is.
I don't see Weezer covering Smooth anytime soon.
Do you want to? That's
because Weezer's lame.
Well, to be fair, Toto did cover Hashpipe at a concert recently.
Oh yeah, I gotta watch that.
It's alright. Yeah. And finally, at number one, whatever the fuck the twist is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That,
and, you know, let me just say something. This is unrelated to the song itself, but I'm looking at this picture of Chubby Checker. He looks like a dude that used to sing in one of my bands. Except, you know, in 1960 speak.
He has a Joey Wheeler chin, though.
Oh, yeah. Brooklyn Rage.
Yeah, I just, you know, they did a list kind of like this a couple years ago. I think it was for like the 55th anniversary. This was also number one. Okay, I understand the cultural zeitgeist of 1960 was weird. I mean, you had the deaths of, you know, Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and, you know, all that stuff going on. But like, really? This doesn't have that much of a lasting legacy to it to me. I'm sorry, but it's just, ugh, this is like pre-meme meme.
Yeah, this is your ancestors' memes, which they had to carve into stone.
Yeah.
All right, on paper, so, before the internet.
Yeah, so this is the 60th anniversary of the Hot 100's top 100 list, and there are some omissions to be found here. There's only one Michael Jackson song way down in the list. There's nothing from Madonna. There's barely much of anything from the rock scene, you know, apart from Nickelback. My God, there's too much disco. It just feels off. Like it wasn't wholly thought out. Kind of like the typos and the copy-paste stuff on the actual article. Hmm.
Yeah, what's up with all the fucking Andy Gibb and Bee Gees? Why?
A whole lot of disco.
No.
Yeah. Usually I say something about there's not enough. Usually say there's mainly little hip hop, but then again, I don't expect hip hop to be on this type of list that much. So yeah, I expect nothing. Yeah. And yet I'm not disappointed. Well, maybe I am. It's more of the don't give a shit type of thing.
Yeah, it's just, we have an anniversary coming up. Just make a list.
Here's a list of songs that we think is good, or whatever the fuck we like. I don't know.
Yeah. I bet you if I had the time to do it, I can make my own list, and it would be a lot better, because I'll actually have the knowledge and the foresight and you know, understanding of the context of each song to actually weigh them in a fair manner to each other. Because, you know, I went to school for that.
Don't forget the blackjack and the hookers.
Well, yeah, that comes standard.
Anyway, with that lengthy diatribe out of the way, which I honestly thought would be a lot shorter, it's now time to, of course, close out with the new album releases for August 10th, 2018. Starting at the top, we have the newest project from Era, progressive metalcore act with Neon. We have the newest, the sophomore album from Joey Jordison death metal project Sincinum, titled Repulsion for Humanity. Then, of course, technically coming out on Wednesday, so the day you're hearing this, there's the new EPs from Igloo Ghost. I get the names wrong on this. Steel Mogu and Clear to May. Sorry about that. Then, of course, there's a new project from Trippy Red called Life's a Trip.
Oh.
Get it? Get it?
Yeah.
And last but not least, there's a new project from the professional white guy with an acoustic guitar, Jason Mraz, called No, as in K-N-O-W, instead of the actual No, like, no, I don't want a new Jason Mraz album.
Who does?
Anyway, time to clear house and get the hell out of here. Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, War of Azure, where I will most likely spend a good bit of my time going through the Hot 100 list sometime soon to make my own better list, because, you know, I'm smart. Probably a lot smarter than these frickin' interns.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, on my Twitter, my type of media, and on my site, TheMindHyperOne, at TheHyperOne.wordpress.com. As you know, I'm still doing Wee Bear Bears since they're now airing at, episodes of one, just one every day, and I might do two anime reviews soon, hopefully. I ain't tell you what it is though, but I'm just planning. It's just planning, just so you know.
And T-Pain's gonna be on one of them.
Yes, he will be.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@surrealresolution.com if the interns who wrote this want to get mad at me for correcting their typographical abilities. Bring it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified whenever new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit us, SurrealResolution.com, and find this podcast on DecibelBoost.SurrealResolution.com. Listen to our past episodes, and make sure to listen to Podcast O&A if you want anime in podcast form.
Hear, hear.
Be sure to keep up with our written content, you know, if you want music reviews of shit. Of course, I finally did Automata 2, and, you know, anime reviews and shit, because we got that too. Shout out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Oh, and don't forget to jump into our Discord if you want to see us, you know, just, like, shit post all kinds of shit or whatever. That's what they call a shit post, because it's all shit. Thank you for joining us this week. We will, of course, see you next week. And don't forget about the album roundup coming soon. And until next time, Stelladoro breakfast treats. Snack time anytime.